السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. نحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. نتصل بسيد درود شريف، اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected علماء الكرام, my most respected elders, our dear brothers and young friends, it is only through the fadl, mercy and the grace of Allah Rabbul Alameen that we find ourselves on the cusp of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And today is the day of Jumu'ah. It is a day of Noor, it is a day of Barakat. So it is Noor upon Noor, light upon light, Barakat upon Barakat, blessings upon blessings and bounties upon bounties. These are the favors of Allah Rabbul Alameen upon undeserving people like us. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sheer mercy. It is His rahmat. And it should invoke a great sense of gratitude from us. The aspect of shukr and gratitude is one of the most powerful spiritual exercises that a mu'min and a believer can enact. Generally, our tendency is, and our attitude is, one of ingratitude. This is generally how we respond. We look at those things that are not going right for us. We find those areas that are problematic, and we begin to complain, and we sometimes becomes ingratitude, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not appreciate. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants a mu'min, a believer, to be one who is immersed in shukr. Because the reality of the matter is that no matter what difficulty we face, what loss we may be facing, what challenge we may be facing, that is far lesser than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has truly blessed us with and what Allah ta'ala has given us. And if we only begin to make true shukr and gratitude for everything that we have and everything Allah ta'ala has blessed us with, then there will be absolutely no time and no opportunity for a person to be ungrateful. When the book of complaint closes, then the book of gratitude will open. So may Allah ta'ala make us from those grateful servants. Allah ta'ala grant us the sweetness of shukr. Shukr ki shakkar, as they say. It is a sweetness, it is a bounty to behold. Allah ta'ala make us from the shakirin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made various du'as to Allah ta'ala to include him into the register of the shakirin. Rabbi ja'alni laka dhakaran laka shakkaran. Oh Allah, just as you make me someone who is frequently in your dhikr and remembrance, make me someone who is also frequently thanking you and being grateful to you and praising you and appreciating your bounties upon me. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika. Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, uplift me. So that I may be able to remember you. I may be able to think of you. I may be able to be grateful to you through dhikr and through shukr. So we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukru. That Allah Ta'ala has given us this tawfiq, this ability to be here. Allah has given us this mubarak and blessed day. And may Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us this mubarak and blessed month. It is from the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that he would show a great amount of eagerness and anticipation for the month of Ramadan. So this is a sunnah which we must also give expression to. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua, and not only made dua, but he began preparing for the month through fasting and through extra good deeds. So this is an expression. It is showing Allah that we are eager, that we want something, that we are desirous of that which you want to bless us with. And this is again the approach and the attitude of shukr. And when a person anticipates something, when a person is eager for something, it means that he will be grateful for it. So we give expression to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. Ya Allah, let us reach the month of Ramadan with safety, with easiness, with salamati. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa asked for the protection of Ramadan. Allahumma sallimni li Ramadan. Oh Allah, preserve me for Ramadan. Oh Allah, preserve my mind, preserve my emotions, preserve my health, preserve my time, preserve everything that is important and critical, so that the month of Ramadan can be a month in which I am able to turn to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with total devotion, with commitment, with sincerity, with love, and to acquire and achieve the great blessings and bounties of the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it to one and all of us. Today's talk is a few minutes just about how we can prepare our mindset, how we can reflect, and how we can embrace this month in the manner that we should. We find that there are two terms that are reflective of this month of Ramadan al-Mubarak, which sum up what the month is about, what the theme of Ramadan is about. There are many things that we can discuss about Ramadan and the ibadat and the good deeds, etc. But just to understand and to refresh this lesson, there are two important terminologies. One is the term tahliya, and the other is the term tahliya. So in Arabic, tahliya means to empty out, to remove, to expel, to expunge. Now what is this in reference to? It is in reference to our hearts. That in this month of Ramadan, the heart becomes the focal point of everything. Because that is where everything of a person resides. His intentions, his thoughts, his mindsets, his feelings, everything resides in the heart. And therefore, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in this month, put us through the process of tahliya. Tahliya means to actually empty out, to remove, to get rid of that which is not supposed to be in the heart. Now, it's simple, we understand what we are speaking about. We know that what's supposed to be in the heart of a person, who resides in the heart of a person, the heart is known as the residence of Allah. قلب المؤمن بيت الله الأعظم. That the heart of a believer is actually the residence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is where the name of Allah resides. It is where the word of Allah resides. It is where everything that pertains to a believer's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resides. Iman sits in the heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was explaining to the Sahaba that where does Iman reside, where is taqwa, where is the presence of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to the heart. He said, At-taqwa hahuna. This is where everything evolves. So therefore, our focus in this month of Ramadan is the process of tahliya. That we must be committed to this. That how this heart can be now once again brought to the position of pureness and purity and cleanliness, like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires it from us. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allah informs us in the Quran al-Kareem that this heart we have given you, we have sent it, we have sent you with it as an amana, as a trust. It has to be guarded. It has to be protected. It has to be nurtured. And you will be questioned about this amana on the day of Qiyamah, that إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Only the person who comes with a qalb salim. What does qalb salim mean? Qalb salim means a person who protected his heart, who preserved his heart, who guarded his heart, from everything that is ghayrullah, that is besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing should reside in this heart besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Yes, the love that Allah has kept permissible, the love for one's children, the love for one's spouse, the love for relatives, friends, parents, that love is directly as a result of the love of Allah. So if a person only has Allah's love in his heart, then that which Allah has permitted to love can also reside in that heart. So it does not negate the love of those things that Allah has permitted the love for. Yes, those things that we are not supposed to be associated with. Right. So someone will ask the question, but what about my wealth? Is my wealth also supposed to be removed from my heart? It is the attachment for wealth. It is the love for wealth. It is the intoxication of wealth that Allah doesn't want in the heart. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does want. Otherwise, wealth is a good thing because a person can do charity with wealth. A person has to fulfill his responsibilities with wealth. A person can help people with wealth. So there are so many different dynamics as far as that aspect is concerned. So therefore, the first process that the month of Ramadan brings to us is this life-changing process of takhliya. And my dear friends, we are in dire need of this. Each and every one of us. We cannot ignore this important exercise of Ramadan, this important purpose of Ramadan. The purpose of softening the heart, of rectifying the heart, of reformation, of transformation, is the very premise of Ramadan. It is everything that Ramadan represents. Sometimes there is a tendency, you know, we feel that we're going through routines. No, I must read so much of Quran, I finish my paras, do this, do that, I go sit in itikaf, then I tick the box, and I sat here, and I did this, and I did that, and I went for Umrah, Ramadan, and I came back. Alhamdulillah. Good. Done with the right intention, done with a good niyat, done with the right purpose, it's acceptable, it's good. But outcome, did we achieve the outcome of all of that? If I sat in itikaf, the 10 days in seclusion, in removing myself from society for Allah, for my reformation, after Ramadan, I need to be a transformed person. Those tendencies that lurk within me, the way that I speak, the way that I, my attitude, my approach, my conduct, my mannerism, my walking, my talking, my dealing, my eating, my sleeping. Has there been a transformation in all of that? And the answer to that generally, my dear friends, is we see that Ramadan comes, Ramadan goes. Salah comes, Salah goes. But we are not finding the difference in our life. We are where we are. So therefore, this very important purpose of Ramadan, this very important theme of Ramadan of takhliya, must be given special attention. And when takhliya takes place, when a person, and how does Allah facilitate this? Allah facilitates this through the process of siyam. Siyam, Ramadan is a beneficial scorcher. What does scorch mean? Scorch means to burn out. Scorch means to purify. When they want to purify metal, heat is added to it. Today you get heat therapy for so many illnesses. Heat is a very important component in purification. And Allah uses this in the spiritual dimension. That the fast of Ramadan, the heat of Ramadan, that it generates, the spiritual heat, the spiritual light, that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala cleanses our heart. So how important the fast is, how critical it is to Ramadan. And that is why there is no break in the month of Ramadan. That it is fast upon fast upon fast. The natural thing would have been fast one day, rest one day, fast one day, rest one day. Like how Sulaiman alayhi salam used to have Sulaiman, one day used to fast, one day used to rest. So to give the body time to replenish and get some this thing back, some type of energy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this as such an important component that it must be fast after fast for the entire month. So therefore the fast of Ramadan is critical, it is obligatory, it is fard, we cannot leave it, we cannot miss it. And then the second process is the process of tahliya. Tahliya means to adorn, to beautify, to shine, to make something become beautiful. And something can only be truly adorned if it is clean and pure. So we see how this process works. We cannot shine a dirty heart. You can't take, you know, the purifier, the detergent, Mr. Min or whatever they call it, and try to shine the heart while the heart is still dirty, while the heart is not clean. Takhliya must take place. It must be clean, it must be scorched out, it must be purified. And then tahliya. And how tahliya takes place? Siyam, fasting, to clean, to purify. And qiyam, to beautify. Subhanallah. Such a simple formula Allah has kept. Allah wants us to clean and adorn. And Allah has given us fasting and has given us qiyam. What is qiyam? Qiyam is tarawih. Qiyam is stand in the night. So again, the natural thing would have been, the logical thing would have been, that a person stayed away from food, drink, water, thirsty the whole day in the heat. 16-hour fast, 12-hour fast, some places 18-hour fast. The natural thing would have been, the merciful thing would have been, have a rest. Have a nice iftar, take a break, relax, and get ready for tomorrow's fast. But look at the wisdom of Ramadan al-Mubarak, Allahu Akbar. So profound and so deep. That after a person has made so much of mujahada, he's made so much of sacrifice, he's fasted for Allah from dawn till dusk. And now Allah Ta'ala tests the loyalty of that person. That my mercy is that you should have a break. But my desire is, and what I really want you to achieve, the higher goal of spirituality, that higher level of contact and communication and love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, desires us now to dive back into the ibadah of Allah. So not much time for iftar and not much time to eat. Quick, get done and come back into the masjid. And this is the process of qiyam. Qiyam means to stand. Stand in devotion. Stand for Allah. Stand facing Allah. Stand facing the Qibla. And commit yourself for that entire duration. And again, naturally, you would have said, Taraweeh, make it 4 rakats. You know, Qiyamul Layl, make it 4 rakats, make it 8 rakats. Short, make it easy. No. Make it 20, right, to start off. 20 is not the limit. 20 is just to start. That is why we find in the past our predecessors, our pious forebears, my dear friends. Allahu Akbar. What abilities Allah has blessed them with, what favors Allah has blessed them with. That they wasted no moment. They started off with 20 and then they continued. Of course, our times are different. We perhaps regard ourselves to be weaker physically, weaker emotionally, weaker spiritually and mentally. But we should not let the opportunity go. We should never look for any type of excuse or any form of reduction or any type of, way to compromise on the situation. Rather, it should be the eagerness. We spoke about eagerness before. That I must be eager to do it. And when a person stands in salah, my dear friends, it is a spiritual process. It is a program. It is transformation taking place. We are standing silently behind the imam and listening to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is transforming our heart. Allah is healing our heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is changing everything that is within us. Can we ask for anything more? Can there be something more beautiful, more profound, more life-changing, more transforming than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with? That is why the commentators of the Quran al-Karim say that when a person stands behind the imam, and the imam is reciting Surah Fatiha, make the niyat. You're not reading Surah Fatiha, the imam is reading Surah Fatiha, but make the intention that, O Allah, Surah Fatiha is shifa. Surah Fatiha is the surah of, one of the names of Surah Fatiha is Surah Al-Shifa. So through Surah Fatiha, O Allah, grant me shifa. Grant me shifa physically. A lot of us need shifa physically of our heart. Allah, give everyone shifa. Allah, protect us from these diseases and difficulties. So Allah, protect our hearts from physical ailments and from physical heart disease. And together with that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also purify us spiritually. Because the surah of the Quran is not just for, we read Surah Fatiha only for physical sickness. but it is for spiritual ailments. And even if the heart is ailing physically, but if the heart is strong and it is purified spiritually, then there is no worry. Because at the end of the day, one day that heart is going to stop beating. The physical heart will stop beating. But when the physical heart stops beating, the spiritual heart now comes to life. Because the person's journey has to continue into the akhirah. So the process of tahliyah takes place with qiyam. Therefore, the Tarawi, on one occasion, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during his khilafat, he walks into the masjid. And he sees, like how in Tarawi we have the side lights and the lamps on. So tazharul qanadil, the lamps were on, and the sahaba were in, people were in different jamaats. They were reading, one was reading maybe 3 paras here, somebody was reading 10 paras there, different jamaats they were reading. Wal Qur'anu yutla, the Qur'an was being recited. Ali radiallahu ta'ala sees this beautiful scene, and what does he say? He says, Nawwarallahu fi qabrik ibn Khattab. O Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, may Allah illuminate you a grave for you. Because Umar radiallahu ta'ala was the one who, with the consensus of the Sahaba, gave the format of the Tarawih. Right? He brought in the format of the 20 rakats Tarawih with the congregation, and from that time onwards, it has continued in the Ummah, and it continues till today, and inshallah till the day of Qiyamah. So he says, Nawwarallahu ibn Khattab fi qabrik kama nawwartal masajid bil Quran. Like how you facilitated this congregational salah with the Quran, and today everyone is reciting the Quran in that format, and for centuries it has been done. So subhanallah, Allah has blessed us with this process of takhliyah and tahliyah. May Allah facilitate our takhliyah, our transformation, our purification, and Allah grant every one of us a new heart. Ramadan is a very purposeful month. And like Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Al-Kareem, that it has these very important themes and components to it. Shahru Ramadan, unzila fihi al-Quran. Allah says, Ramadan, al-Quran. They are two inseparable components. The Quran, the month of Ramadan, and Al-Quran are inseparable. The month of Ramadan is the month of Quran. And Quran is recited in the month of Ramadan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after these ayat, He speaks about the aspect of dua. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That when my servant asks for me for anything, then know I am very close. So the other very important component of Ramadan, together with our transformation and adornment of the heart, is facilitated through dua. And that is why we find in Ramadan, we are encouraged to read the different du'as of Ramadan, du'as of fasting, sahri, etc. And to also increase in our regular du'a, the compilations of du'a, and to recite these du'as, to learn these du'as, to internalize these du'as. So it is a month in which we develop the capacity for du'a. Because du'as are accepted. Du'a is an ibadah. Du'a is a gate to reaching the love and the connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is one big gate that we can open for ourselves through du'a. And there's obviously a lot of explanation and there's a lot of discussion behind the benefit of du'a, the barakat of du'a. But for the month of Ramadan, we will conclude with this one du'a. And even if this one du'a alone, we attach ourselves to this du'a, we make this du'a every day in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, this du'a will be a great source of strength for us spiritually. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in terms of the Quran al-Kareem, he made this dua. Allahumma ja'alil Quran al-Azim rabi'a qalbi. Oh Allah, make this Quran the spring of my heart. Spring season, everything becomes alive, fresh, fragrant, everything begins to blossom. So Allah, make the Quran become the spring of my heart. Let my heart be blossomed, let my heart be cleansed and perfumed and fragrant with the Quran al-Kareem. وَنُورَ صُدُورِنَا, and O Allah, make it the light of our chest. وَذَهَابَ غُمُومِنَا وَغُمُومِنَا, and O Allah, make this Quran become a means of removing our anxiety, our stresses, our worries through the recitation of the Quran, through understanding the formulas of the Quran. Today we worry so much. We worry about everything. We reach points where of anxiety and depression, where we need treatment. But if we understood the Quran, the formulas of the Quran, the message of the Quran, it's not that we will not suffer from these type of things. Yes, human beings are human beings. We are all prone to illnesses and conditions. But it will not consume us, it will not overwhelm us, we will not suffer breakdowns, we will not become so depressed that we are unable to function, we become dysfunctional, and we forget our purpose and objective of life. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the month of Ramadan. Tonight is the moon sighting. If the moon is sighted, normally they say very unlikely, but or sometimes when it's very unlikely, then that unlikely becomes likely also. So let's not drop our guard. Tonight is the moon sighting. The moon is not sighted, then inshallah Ramadan will commence from tomorrow evening. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan. Wa sallim Ramadan lana. Wa sallimu lana mutaqabbala. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.